Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Wednesday the 17th of April. I'm Abby Patterson, and on today's show, PSG knock Barcelona out of the Champions League.
And then at the start of the second half, PSG applied the pressure and they made their quality count.
I think that red card was easily the turning point of that game.
And Dortmund outperform Atletico to progress.
Not only did they give their best performance of the season, I think it's the best Dortmund performance I've seen in absolutely years.
Plus, why Arsenal have a left-back problem?
I think he's the logical choice. I just hope he's fit enough. That's what's giving me that nagging doubt.
You're listening to the Daily Football Briefing with Abby Patterson.
It's Champions League night, and coming into Tuesday evening, it was advantage Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. And by the end, well, let's talk you through what happened. To Spain, where Barcelona hosted PSG, and Rafinha continued where he left off, scoring goals past Donnarumma to keep the tie in their favour. But the tables turned when this happened.
Ramal beaten through it by Mendes, and now Barcola can have a run. Araujo getting back. Now, is that a penalty? Or is he just outside the penalty area? It's just outside. Sends him off. It's a red card. Araujo sent off. Well, is that a potential turning point for Paris Saint-Germain?
Game changer. With Araujo sent off, Xavi switched things around and it was goodbye to Lamine Yamal. And with the man advantage, Bradley Barcola and Ousmane Dembele came to life and...
It's Bradley Barcola sliding all the way through and it's smashed into the roof of the net by Dembele. Well, that's rammed one or two boos down one or two throats.
So at the break, Barca have the score in their favour. It's 4-3 on aggregate, but PSG have the extra man. Whose advantage would be more useful? To answer that, Vitinha doubled PSG's lead less than 10 minutes into the second half. Things got worse as Xavi got a red card, then Joao Cancelo missed time to tackle on Dembele and Kylian Mbappe dispatched the ensuing penalty. And finally, with Barca pressing for an equaliser to send the game into extra time, PSG were on the counter and...
Hakimi leading the charge, and Mbappe's gone bursting through the middle. And Mbappe can clinch it, big save to Stegen. Asensio on the follow-up, there's to Stegen again. Clear to Mbappe, who scores this time!
Mbappe adding to his tally, that's 41 goals in total for him this season, and it made it 4-1 on the night and secured his side's spot in the semi-finals. Probably not the last time we'll be discussing Mbappe scoring in Spain against Barcelona, if you know what I mean. Over in Germany, Dortmund needed a win to progress to the semi-finals, and it was a thriller in the Westfalen Stadium. Julian Brandt opened the scoring, levelling the tie, before Chelsea loanee Ian Maatsen smashed the ball in.
Sancho into the penalty area, Maatsen into the penalty area, it's Maatsen, it's 2-0, and they turn the tie on the head.
Atletico came back after the break, scoring twice to turn the tie back in their favour, 4-3 up on aggregate, but then it flipped once more as the hosts, Dortmund, scored twice in 3 minutes. First, Niklas Füllkrug headed in before Sabitzer added his name to the score sheet.
And Brandt again, and Füllkrug again, and now Marcel Sabitzer onto his left! How about that for making amends? This is one to live in the memory here tonight, all right. Marcel Sabitzer turns it back for us, your Dortmund's way.
And that's where it ended. Breathless for us spectators, disappointment for Atleti, and euphoria for the Dortmund supporters. That's now 29 goals in these quarterfinals, and there's still 2 matches to go. I think I speak on behalf of us all when I say, I love football. Well, let's take a closer look at that action then. And we'll begin in Montjuic, where Paris Saint-Germain got their remontada revenge with a 4-1 win over Barcelona, sending them through 6-4 on aggregate. We'll get the Catalonian perspective first with The Athletic's Barcelona writer Pol Balús. And Pol, Barca were the makers of their own downfall, really, here. First, though, was it a red card, in your opinion?
I think it was. I think it was. If you think that this is a fault, it has to be a red card. I think that Araujo was sloppy. First, because he commits the mistake on the build-up. He basically missed the pass that ends up with a counter-attack. And then with Barcelona one goal up, you just don't have to do this fault. You just have to let them take the chance and just build from there, because I think that the red card was easily the turning point of that game and what brought Barcelona down eventually.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder though, did Xavi need to take off Lamine Yamal? Because he is their star player often enough.
On the press box, we were saying like that possibly Pedri would have been like a more natural substitute because he was coming on from injury. Now it's easy to say, of course. I mean, possibly if it was for Xavi now, he would change that substitution. But as I was saying, it's easy to say now.
So what is left for Barcelona this season? Or is it season over and that's that?
Sort of. We'll see on Sunday, because there's a Clásico, and in a Clásico, like, anything can happen. If they win the Clásico, they're going to be two games away of the top of La Liga, which is still like something to fight for. But in terms of the Champions League, that was the thing that was holding their season and like putting all the hopes together. We saw the best atmosphere that we've seen in years, I would say, in Barcelona. Like, the mood and the buzz around the city was amazing. And from that, a lot of decisions are going to be needed to be made, starting from Xavi, because we know that the board is trying to convince Xavi to stay. So a lot of things, as it's usual in Barcelona, in the coming days and weeks.
Well, that's raised even more questions that no doubt are going to be answered over on The Athletic. Thank you, Pol. As for the victors, PSG are through to the semi-finals for the first time since 2021. Peter Rutzler writes all about them for us and joins me to talk further. Pete, so my take is that Barcelona lost this more than PSG won it. As our French-facing reporter, what's your take?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that's the way to look at how this game panned out in the end. I think, you know, PSG started brightly, but once Rafinha scored, it did feel like this was Barcelona's tie. They seemed to have Dembele and Mbappe under control, but the red card opened the game. It was a soft red card, but it was smart, and it's something that PSG were trying to do over the course of 2 hours of football, really, is to get one of their best forwards and wide players running in behind goal side. After that point, you know, PSG still had an uphill battle. They managed it in the end. Barcola, again, the catalyst with that first important goal relatively quickly after the red card. And then at the start of the second half, PSG applied the pressure and they made their quality count. This is a result that will mean a great deal and opens the draw up for them with Dortmund in the semi-final.
As you say, it was a bad start. But as soon as it became uneven in terms of numbers on the field, that did seem to unlock Dembele and Barcola, didn't it?
Yeah, I think from a tactical perspective, that was the difference. I felt coming into this game that Barcelona losing Sergio Roberto, having to reshuffle their midfield, Pedri coming in might open up some different avenues for Kylian Mbappe on the left or as it turned out, Bradley Barcola on the left. It didn't really happen, not until the red card. And once the red card happened, there was more space, and that's killer against a team like PSG.
Well, they're through, and next up it's Dortmund, and I suspect that PSG are going to really fancy their chances here.
For sure, PSG will fancy their chances now in the semi-final. That's why, if they had lost and gone out at this point, you know, it feels like a missed opportunity. But they've got through and they faced Dortmund, who they played twice in the group stages. They drew away from home, won at home. If you can get to the final, then anything can happen. You know, there's some serious contenders still in the tournament. They have an opportunity now to potentially reach a final.
You're listening to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic.
In Germany, the night ended 4-2 in Dortmund's favour, 5-4 on aggregate. And to quote their own social media, that was the most insane, crazy, hectic, beautiful, scary, joyful thing ever in the history of ever, like ever. It's difficult to disagree. Seb Stafford-Blaw was the man who had the hardship of taking in this match for The Athletic. And Seb, you said that Dortmund would need to play near to their best performance. Well, was it?
Not only did they give their best performance of the season, I think it's the best Dortmund performance I've seen in absolutely years, just in terms of, yes, the quality, but also the cohesion within it. One of the main criticisms of Edin Terzic, their coach, is that he's always been overly reliant on individual players. This was a proper team performance, the kind that was probably Dortmund's hallmark under Jurgen Klopp or Thomas Tuchel. So it really has been a long time since, Are they able to muscle an opponent of this quality out of the Champions League?
Well, let's dig into that a little more. Marcel Sabitzer, from a cursory glance, looked like the star man, 2 assists and a goal. But what was it about Dortmund that gave them the resilience they needed to progress?
I think it was more about attacking power, Abby. I think one of the issues, certainly at the top of the pitch, is their football has been a bit slow, a bit plodding, and it was very connected. So I think you saw that in the quality of some of the moves that they were able to put together. But I think the signs were there from the very beginning. They created the better chances. It was really very impressive in a way that Dortmund haven't been for quite a long time. And some of these individual players are coming for a lot of criticism in the German media. But I think one of the features of last night was how, by working so well in the system, you saw the best face of some of these players. You mentioned Marcel Sabitzer. I'd add into that mix Julian Brandt, who I thought was absolutely terrific. Everywhere you looked, there was a really, really strong individual performance, but importantly, within the context of the team as a whole.
Well, that's Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League semi-finals, and you could just see what it meant to them at the end. And now all they have to do to get to the final is get past PSG, who they've already met in this competition. How are they going to feel about that one, Seb?
I suppose attention won't actually move towards PSG for a few days, because I think in a season where not very much has gone well, I think Dortmund will be inclined to just enjoy this moment. More than anything else, what the Atletico Madrid comeback shows is that when they play in the Westfalenstadion, I know the under the lights in the big venue is very much an English thing, but this is one of the great venues in European football, and better sides than Paris Saint-Germain will come unstuck in the Westfalenstadion. And maybe it's got just a little bit more magic left in it. So wait and see.
Oh, I'm excited. Thank you, Seb. The Champions League continues tonight as the two remaining English teams take to the European stage, with both ties ending in a draw last week and there being no away goals rule, like it or loathe it, we're into start from scratch territory here. First up, let's look at Bayern versus Arsenal. It's 2-2 from the first leg, and Arsenal come into this one off the back of that lackluster defeat to Villa at the weekend. If you listen to the Totally Football show, you'll learn that Rafa Honigstein thinks that means momentum is with the Germans. One issue they face, though, is that there's no Alphonso Davies, Kingsley Coman or Serge Gnabry. But Leroy Sané should be back in the starting lineup for Bayern, which isn't great news for Arsenal, given how he performed at the Emirates. On Handbreak Off, the Athletic's dedicated Arsenal podcast, James McNicholas and Ian Stone discussed how on earth Mikel Arteta is going to go about keeping Sané quiet. Have a listen.
I don't know how you stop him, because he can do a bit of everything. You know, he's quick. He can run in behind. He's got the close control to receive the ball on the turn, get tight to him. He can blow past you.
He's already been through two left backs, hasn't he, in the first leg?
Exactly,
I mean, you know,
mate. Yeah, I think.
Well, one left.
Listen, I think it's time we give Tomiyasu a go. I do think Tomiyasu is the best one-on-one defender we have, probably, in the fullback positions. I think he's the logical choice. I just hope he's fit enough, because that's what's giving me that nagging doubt. I think if he was properly fit, he would have started before now. So I just hope he's got 90 minutes in him. Because this could be, let's not forget, a 120-minute game.
Yeah, quite. Without away goals, penalties are a big possibility, aren't they, really?
Now, this is Bayern's only chance for silverware this season, so there's quite a lot riding on this match. And some might say it's the same for Arsenal too, after that Villa defeat. As for Man City and Real Madrid, it's 3-3 after the first leg at the Bernabeu. Shall we relive that Valverde goal? Go on.
Vinicius Junior, oh, what a shot! What a goal that is! It's a strike of beauty from Fede Valverde!
Now, last season this fixture ended 4-0 to City, but we shouldn't expect the same. Why not? Alvaro Romeo answered that question on the Totally Football show.
One thing that history has taught us is that Real Madrid competes in every context. So, for example, the other day, I think it was Manchester City dominating the game, especially in the second half, and Real Madrid managed to compete. They pretty much do it irrespective of how the game goes. And I think that they will try probably to profit their counterattacks. The other day against Manchester City at Bernabeu, they double up the left channel with Rodrigo and Vinicius because they knew that Walker wasn't there. For me, that's the big question of the game. Will Kyle Walker play or not? Because that changes a little bit the way Real Madrid may attack as well. And I think that probably Manchester City will impose their style, and Real Madrid is adaptable to every style. But if Manchester City puts into practice their style very well, then they are very likely to win it, like they did last season.
So, will Kyle Walker play? Well, Pep is keeping his cards close to his chest, saying he doesn't know if he'll start, but Walker will be there. For Madrid, there's no Tchouaméni as he's suspended. And there's a question at centre-back, Militao or Nacho? Well, only Don Carlo knows the answer to that one. To watch the matches, you'll need TNT in the UK at 8 p.m. and in the States, it's Paramount Plus at 3 p.m. And of course, the winners of these ties will go on to face each other in the semi-final. And we can't have a whole show about European football without mentioning the word coefficient. There are two extra spots up for grabs in next season's Champions League for the two countries that perform best. Italy have all but sewn up one of them. Nope, me neither. But it's bad news, Spurs fans, because Dortmund going through swings the dial very much in Germany's favour. So if you want to see Ange on the touchline against Luis Enrique and co next season, chances are you're going to need to support Arsenal and hope that Harry Kane doesn't score. Tricky. Or you could finish fourth and this wouldn't be a problem. Just when you thought it couldn't get any more exciting, eh? And that's it for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Abby Patterson, Mike Zimmerman was your producer, and executive producer was Ian McIntosh. Michael Bailey will be back with you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a great day.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.